welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is the show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. As many of you know, I am attracted to courage and to heroes, both men and women. My wife is courageous. All of my friends I've made the past 4 years are courageous. And many of my guests here on Base Camp are courageous. I like to connect and speak and amplify the voices and hearts that are leading humanity, for we're all on a collective hero's journey, are we not? And the hero's journey is always for the few, never for the masses. For it is the faint trail, not the well-worn road, that lead humanity into a new golden era. I used to think that my tribe being humanity, of course, had a courage problem. However, I'm starting to realize that we don't need the masses to have more courage. They seem to be all looking at the authorities and Big Pharma to tell them what to do and what they shouldn't do. No, we just need the few, like my guest today, to continue to lead us on the faint and twilight path that will lead us onto the rarefied air and vibrations that we seek. The frequencies are changing, and we're more unified than any of us can imagine. I don't need you to wake up. You're either awake or you're not. The die has been cast. We have a big election coming up. I don't have that much to say about it other than to take a quote from real Derek Utley in regards to Robert Kennedy Jr. He says, quote, "When a lifelong Democrat from an iconic Democrat family who tried to run for president as a Democrat, whose running mate was a Democrat, warned you of the dangers of voting for the Democrat in this election, you should probably listen," unquote. Let's go chat with my guest today, another courageous warrior who gives me hope. Our future is in good hands, in my opinion, despite all the noise from the globalists and the radical left who always seek to divide and conquer us. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Seek Smith. Seek is a mother of three, a proud patriot, and the founder of Mom Army, an organization that was created to activate and mobilize fierce protectors of children. Here is my interview with Seek Smith. Okay, I am here with Seek Smith, founder of Mom Army, patriot Seek Smith. Seek, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I am so excited for our conversation.
Me too. You know, I chatted with our mutual friend, Jessica Arburn, and then did an episode with Pamela Garfield Yeager. So we're, you and I are starting to swim in the same stream. I think we keep, I keep bumping up against these people. It's really great. And I'm proud to be in this conflict with you on the right side, let's say, but we'll get into all that. I just wanted to start off by asking you just a bit about yourself. Like, where did you grow up? Where do you live now? You know, how many kids do you have? And then also, what had you start Mom Army?
Sure. Yeah. So I'll go back and I'll make it, you know, I'll try and be quick about it. My dad escaped communism and genocide in Cambodia in the 70s. So I came here to the US as a 3-year-old refugee from that conflict. And my dad, thankfully, I look back at my life and his life and realize, like, oh, everything makes sense for why I'm in the fight. My dad was a rebel. He was a fighter. He fought against the Communist Party. He hatched a plan to escape and made it out of there. He actually escaped with 42 women and children and helped people escape with him. Wow. So he has this wonderful backstory, heroic story that in more recent years that I've learned and has really inspired me and has really helped make sense of my life and kind of who I am today. So, but I grew up in, you know, I grew up in South LA in the housing projects. We weren't the successful immigrant story that you hear about. My parents struggled a lot. We were on welfare and food stamps, very reliant on the government. But I think that was important for my upbringing because I wanted to break that cycle. I knew very early on as a child that I wanted something more out of life. And I set the course for that. Even as an 11-year-old, I bused myself out to a better school district, you know, in the Valley, you know, spending an hour on the bus to get to school. And then I was able to see how my peers were living with their, you know, big homes with swimming pools. So I always chalk it up to like vision boarding in real life. Mm-hmm. As a child, before Google, before, you know, all we had back then was like Robin Leach, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I'm obviously aging myself at this point.
Yeah, but, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. But so that's, you know, that's the gist of my upbringing. My husband and I met in high school when we were sophomores, 15-year-olds, and we just celebrated our 24th anniversary of a couple of weeks ago. And we have three amazing, incredible, compassionate, creative children, two adult sons, and then our daughter is a 14-year-old teenager. She just started high school. Nice. But yeah, I mean, I feel very blessed. I'm surrounded by a lot of amazing, amazing people who inspire me to do the work that I do.
That's great. What a great story about your dad. I didn't know about that. That man, mm-hmm. no wonder your path is a courageous one with that as your model. And you know, not every, you know, courageous, you know, immigrant act, you know, continues on to like, you know, affluence mm-hmm. in America. Sometimes it takes a generation or two, but usually that act, you know, it has these repercussions later on for kids, grandkids, great grandkids, because he mm-hmm. he set the template of don't live inside of a system, don't live inside something that is going to squash your soul or squash your spirit, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. That's fantastic. So you're going along, like, what had you start mom arming? Like, what was going on that kind of got you yeah. going, wait a minute, I need to get in action?
Yeah, it actually started 15 years ago. So I've been fighting and been in the space of, you know, child advocacy and fighting child sex trafficking for 15 years now. And the catalyst for that, you know, by this point, my husband and I had bought, we had been living in our first home that we bought in this gated community. And, you know, we were living the American dream. I had two young boys at the time. And I was driving home from work as a production manager at a fashion college. And I was listening to talk radio, and there was this horrific case that was going through its sentencing phase. And it was out of Trenton, New Jersey. And the gist of it was a 9-year-old girl was sold for $100 by her 15-year-old stepsister to five men. I don't even have to go further into that, but the details of that case was coming out, and they were sentencing those men to jail, and my heart shattered into a million pieces, and I was crying uncontrollably, barely made it home, pulled into my garage, walked into my kitchen, my husband's at the dining table, I'm still crying, and of course he's freaking out, and I had to calm him down. I said, I'm okay, nothing happened, I just heard this horrible story. And I remember saying to him, clearly there was this moment where I can't unhear this, I can't unfeel this, I have to do something. And I never even heard the term human trafficking. It was the first time that had even entered my lexicon and my vocabulary. And so I started, you know, digging and going, what does this mean? What is happening? Who's fighting this? You know, so I went down my rabbit hole, you know, 15 years ago, and discovered a woman named Somali Mom, who happens to be Cambodia. And she had been fighting. She was sold into trafficking and got out of it. She wrote a book. I read her book, and then found out there was an organization that was created for her called the Somali Mom Foundation, based in New York. So I picked up the phone, called, at the time you could call these organizations, pick up the phone, call the foundation and said, hey, I'm in Los Angeles. I want to get involved. I do event planning, PR, marketing, branding. How can I help? And that was the court that started the course. I became their LA ambassador, started doing fundraisers in LA and Beverly Hills and gala fundraisers with like up and coming celebrities at the time. I'm just going to name a few, but like Shay Mitchell, who was on an ABC show, Pretty Little Liars, and Annalyn McCord, who is now one of my dearest friends. We do a lot of work together. She's one of my closest friends. And we met through this work that many years ago. And that's what set the course. So for Mom Army, that is more recent. I started Mom Army 2 years ago. We just celebrated our 2-year anniversary. Nice. So I no longer live in Los Angeles. 3 years ago, we moved to Arizona for a lot of different reasons. It was like the perfect storm. The COVID lockdowns was so draconian and so tyrannical. I was one of those people that day one, I was like, this is communism. This is tyranny.
Yep.
And I saw it because of my dad's background, and I knew it, and I can see it a mile away. And everyone else was just like, oh, they're trying to keep us safe. I'm like, no, you're not understanding, you know? And I looked like I was crazy, because even my husband was like, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, you don't understand what the slippery slope we are going down. And so we moved to Arizona, partly because of the, you know, a lot of, you know, the COVID stuff, but then also the crazy laws that were being passed, stripping away parental rights and all of those things. And our daughter was turning 11 at the time, didn't want to raise her there anymore. My husband had an opportunity to relocate for work. So we're here. And a little over 2 years ago, I had this moment. We're sitting in our driveway, headed out to dinner. And I looked at my husband. I said, oh my God, our children are under attack relentlessly from every direction, from every institution, the education system, the medical system, entertainment, you name it, like, you know, the judicial system, nothing is protecting children. Yeah. And it was this overwhelming sense of like hopelessness that I was feeling at the moment. And then my husband looks at me and he says, you know, you work with all these amazing women all over the country. Why don't you guys get together with one voice, with one message, you know, to work for protecting children? He goes, you know, kind of like what MAD did, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They came together and they lobbied for laws. And so it was like the light bulb went off and I started making phone calls. I started getting on Zooms. I think I spent like two, maybe almost 3 months just reaching out to my network across the country. I said, hey, want to start this thing called Million Outrage Moms, which is what we started as. And we quickly morphed into Mom Army, I would say like 2 weeks later. Yeah. And we rebranded very, very quickly. But I did. We reached out to everybody. We launched on August 8, 2022 on Instagram. But I didn't want this to be just an online Instagram group of women. I wanted us to be boots on the ground, affecting change, moving the needle in all the different areas. And it took off. I started getting messages from all over the world, from moms in Peru and New Zealand and Ireland and Spain, who were just like, us too, we're dealing with the same things. And I was like, wait a minute, it's not just an American problem. It's not just a Canadian problem, a Western problem. You know, like there are these countries dealing with the same issues, the indoctrination of our children, the sexualization of our children. And that's essentially how it started. And today we're, you know, we have chapters all over the country. We have leaders doing incredible work at their state capitol, at school board meetings. I'm talking about like the cream of the crop. I'm talking about warriors who will drive 5 hours to go testify for something. I'm talking about warriors who will speak up even though their kids are protected and homeschool. They will go to school board meetings. I'm talking about warriors who've been through some of the worst traumatic childhood experiences, but have now found their purpose and are fighting for other children and that little child, that wounded child. So we're a survivor-led organization. That's what's a little different about us compared to a lot of the other. We get lumped into the parental rights mom groups. And although we occupy some of that space, we really are about ending exploitation and trafficking of children and prevention in that area. More than half of my moms are survivors of child sexual abuse and even a few that were trafficked. And I'm not a survivor myself, but I feel very blessed that I've been gifted the ability to create a platform to amplify these voices and to give people the purpose of fighting for other children.
Absolutely. That's a great story. You have something really that I really loved on your website. You have, quote, I needed to be able to tell my children that I did not stay silent. It's a mm-hmm. sign. It's a sign that it's a picture of a sign that somebody was holding.
Yeah.
And I think that says a lot right now, in that it seemed like we had this very, very small group. Like, I was kind of in, I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but my wife and I also, when that happened, I mean, we're in Seattle and it was just lockdown, draconian, central. Yeah. And we were pointing to the same kinds of things that you were, like, we were trying to show people the layer that was underneath the, that we're just trying to keep you safe. And we were trying to point beyond that, but people didn't want to hear it, you know? Yeah. And I, over time, as I look back, I see that it was a courage problem, that the doctors, there was a lot of doctors that weren't courageous. There was reporters mm-hmm. that weren't courageous. There was nurses that weren't courageous. Actually, the nurses have shown to have more courage than the doctors. They have come out in droves to speak out mm-hmm. against this. against masks and against the vaccines. But, you know, do you see that there is an awakening happening in humanity? You pointed to the global thing. And sometimes I think there's probably more awake people in other parts of the world than the indoctrinated, propagandized Americans. Like in my area, there's still a ton of people wearing masks, and they would throw me under the bus in a heartbeat if I was pointing out to any sort of like tyranny or power grab or any kind of deep state shenanigans about what's going on. But, you know, I can't unsee all of the weird stuff that's going on. Like, and if you're not going to stand for children, like that's that's kind of like the most shocking thing to me is that
learned a lot since.
If ordinary parents, let's say parents that aren't particularly awake, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't had the awakening that, oh my God, what's going on? But they see the grooming. They mm-hmm. see that this transgender stuff is just taken on a life of its own, but they don't ask where it's coming from. They act like mm-hmm. it's an accident. Like, oh, this is a natural, like organic outpouring of young people that want to change genders, but that's not what's going on at all. It's like it's so organized. It's so engineered. And mm-hmm. to me, like the loss of innocence for children, that they have to be like pounded with these like over-sexualized content in books and videos and the drag queen story hour. Like, I don't care if you want to be a drag queen, but don't get weird with all the kids, right? It's just that to me is where that's a litmus test. Like, you can say, oh, we didn't know about, you know, that the vaccines were going to be bad for you. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that the doctors were just kind of like sheepishly going along with it when they knew. But when you see what's going on with the kids and you ignore it, or you pretend that there is not a war, I mean, that's on you. And I don't know if you're seeing a wave of people waking up. I can't tell sometimes in Seattle because I don't know if there is a wave. I sometimes think it's me, my wife, and like 10 people, but I have to trust God. And I have to trust that, no, it's the truth is doing its work and God is doing mm-hmm. his work. And, I don't know. That's a lot to give you, but I guess I just wanted to say, if you're not gonna fight for kids, then what kind of human are you, you know?
Yeah. That's my line. That's the clear red line for me. No, it's really interesting. I mean, we are in a very unique time. You know, we've got technology. We've got the quickest way to communicate with each other. We can connect in ways that our ancestors could never have imagined, right? And when we look at what has happened historically, sadly, I will have to admit, and I've come to accept it now, it is the passionate few. Mm-hmm. And we have what we call our Soul Saturday meetings every Saturday. And I have to remind my team, we are a small but mighty army. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're not, the masses is not going to awake. They're never going to, sadly. And we've mm-hmm. seen it throughout history. You don't get a Holocaust. You don't get a Cambodian genocide if it was everybody like my father, right?
Right.
It is very, very few, but that passionate few is who changes history, who changes the course of history. Yeah. And I remind people that, you know, to stay in the fight because you are the people that the history books are going to write about. Mm-hmm. And that brings solace because when I started this, look, I was under the illusion like, oh my God, I'm going to have thousands of people join us that want to fight to protect children. Boy, was I wrong. Right. We have a lot of people that do support us silently. They're when you use the word courage, I'll go a step further. I think there's a lack of moral courage. Mm-hmm. Huge lack of moral courage that people are just not standing firm in their values. And they will go along to get along. They will conform, you know, to make their life easier. Look, I was saying the other day to somebody, do I want to just go sit in my backyard and sip on a Mai Tai? And I'm like, you know, and just hang out? Sure. But, you know, you and I both know we can't go to life before all of this has been exposed to us, right? Yeah. For those of us that really are dedicated to this fight, we just can't go back.
Yeah, I need to be able to tell my son that my sleeves were rolled up. Here's all the content I created during mm-hmm. the war, right? I need to be able to say that. Otherwise,
yeah,
you'd have been like, what
were you? On our website. Yeah, that sign on our website is a reminder to all of us that our children are watching. Our children are learning from us. Mm-hmm. We will be in the same situation 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if we aren't raising our own little warriors. And they can only do that by example, by witnessing it, by seeing it in real time. My kids know, my daughter knows, she's a fierce one. I mean, I'll use an example. She goes, Mom, I want to go hang out at the mall with my friends. And, you know, I'm not a helicopter mom, but, you know, the work that I do and the stuff that I know, I'm like, absolutely not. That's not happening. And the next day she comes home and she's like, I bought a pocket knife and pepper spray.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, she's my daughter.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I'm going to show you I can take care of myself. I can go to the mall with my friends, you know.
Absolutely.
But I share that to say, you know, our kids are watching and we can't be silent because we don't have a future if our children are not protected.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was going to read you a quote by America's Future. You know, I do this as a podcaster. I'm always grabbing quotes and memes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a million of them on my phone. And then, you know, when I'm making an episode, I kind of sort through and see, does this resonate with the topics that we're going to talk about? So America's Future says, quote, there is nothing normal about American politics right now, not for either party. Because underneath all the politics, what we are really watching is a spiritual conflict, not between Republicans and Democrats, but between good and evil, unquote.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I had on Dr. Mark McDonald a few episodes ago, we touched on this. You know, in prior episodes, I was talking about, you know, getting, you know, I would call them, I was kind of name calling because I think I was a little butt hurt because I was being so ostracized by the masks and all that stuff that I was calling the, you know, the normies, you know, but he really pointed out to me that, you know, because I said liberals in a, maybe not a derogatory context, but he goes, Tony, he goes, traditional liberals, Kennedy liberals, and conservatives have a ton in common. He goes, but the media, which is driven by the radical left and all this wokeism and transgenderism, has done a great job of making liberals think that they have to stay married to the Democrat Party when it's been hijacked by a bunch of mentally ill crazy people and globalists and communists that are not out for Americans. They still have an awakening to do, but the more that we can share that actually there's a ton in common with traditional liberals, Kennedy liberals, let's call them, and conservatives, libertarians, suddenly we've got massive numbers. And so I'm kind of, I don't know about you, I'm optimistic on a bunch of different levels. I know we're coming up to PSYOP season.
Wow.
You know, there's just going to be a ton of weird stuff happening. I think it's hard. I don't know about you. I have to keep reminding myself, and we talked about this before we started today, I have to keep my bandwidth there. So I can't follow every single story that's got a ton of like, you know, like the Trump assassination attempts. Like I wasn't really down the rabbit holes because I'm like, okay, you know, thank God he survived. I don't know what's what in that any more than I did on January 6th. So I guess like, are you optimistic? How do you stay focused on the signal rather than getting caught up in all the noise, but still stay informed?
Yeah. Like you running a page like Mom Army, we get peppered with stuff in our DMs of, you know, things that are happening, you know, record like little citizen journalists are sending us stuff all the time.
Yep.
So we'll get things before it even hits like, you know, the news, or if it does even hit the news, but before it hits like, you know, the mainstream social media stuff. And I am very optimistic, just like you. Even though this feels like a very heavy space to be in all the time. We were just talking about this at dinner last night with another couple that we went to dinner with. But I do feel optimistic. And that's why I shared about the meetings that I have with my team. Yes, we're small and there's few of us in this fight, but we're changing hearts and minds. it's happening organically. Somebody might see a post. I will get a random message, you know, from somebody, and something I posted will resonate, right? Mm-hmm. I, you know, half of my moms are former Democrats, former liberals, who more recently came to the realization, like, wait a minute, this party that I identify myself with no longer aligns with my values. Yep. You know, my values have always for pretty much been the same, you know, but it's just shifted so far to the left. You know, the goalpost keeps moving, keeps changing. And it's funny you brought up RFK. I went to the rally for Trump here, because being in Arizona and being a swing state, there's so much activity happening here. And there's so much, you know, stuff to do, and people are getting out the vote and all sorts of initiatives and stuff. But I'm on the Moms Coalition for Turning Point Action in my district, in my area, in the East Valley here in Phoenix. And so I've made a lot of friends within the organization. So I got really good VIP access to that event. So I was right there on the floor, six rows from the podium when RFK came out to announce, you know, that he was ending his campaign and that he was endorsing Trump. And it was this powerful moment of what I felt was unity, mm-hmm. that there was this shift that just took place in that moment. You know, it was so profound to have a Kennedy endorse a Republican, you know, but Trump is not your normal Republican. I was an independent libertarian leaning. Yep. I was a Ron Paul Republican. So I, during the Obama election, during that election cycle, I was running around at Ron Paul rallies at UCLA and Cal State Fullerton. And I was watching, it was like pre-Trump time, you know, it was like these kids, college kids that were so activated around this really old white guy who was saying all the right things and mm-hmm. had all the right policies. And he was my awakening in 2007. But I'm seeing the unity. So that is very hopeful. I went to another RFK Tulsi Gabbard event a week ago. And then not yesterday, but Tuesday night, then RFK with Charlie Kirk and Casey for a town hall. So I've been to three RFK events in Arizona just in the last few weeks. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing people listening to having discussions around health. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh my God. I mean, that was a town hall. It was solely focused on, you know, chronic diseases and what we need to do as a country. They just had a hearing about the health stuff. Mm-hmm. So that makes me very hopeful, you know. So I don't know about what your thoughts on that are.
Yeah, I am the same way. And I think that what you're saying about all these former liberals that have moved over, that's happening in droves as well. I think people are just mm-hmm. having that sort of awakening. You know, there must be something in the water down there in Arizona, because you got Charlie Kirk, you got you guys. I was down there for Charlie Kirk's America Fest, and man, there's a really mm-hmm. great thing. And you got Carrie Lake there. You got some real warriors and real fighters, in your state, you know, cause Arizona is a red state. I don't care what they say. It's just been
through red. It's been co-opted.
Totally. I think they're attacking it with propaganda and all kinds of things to try to flip it or make it purple.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people in Arizona, and for the most part, they're all conservative.
Well, exactly what they do. You know, Colorado was deep red and Colorado turned blue. So they will target a state, and Arizona has been a target, I would say, for at least the last decade.
Yeah.
And talking to a lot of people here who are staunch, you know, conservatives and people who have been making all kinds of movements and stuff. Yeah. They have aimed at flipping Arizona blue for a while now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And we have, you know, we have a governor, you know, we have Katie Hobbs, you know, Phoenix is run by, you know, Kate Gallego, and, you know, and our senators, you know, and so on that front, it's really interesting, because coming here, I remember saying to myself, I don't want to have to find another state to run to.
Right.
I'm digging my heels in. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to get involved where I need to get involved to keep Arizona from becoming California. I would go to events when I first moved here, and I would introduce myself, and I would say, you know, I'm from California, but I promise I won't California or Arizona. I would always have to say that. And I remember like switching my license plate right away. I was like, I don't want a California license plate. I don't want a California driver's license. I was like switching like my whole identity. I'm like, I'm done with California. California. And I've been very lucky in getting connected to really amazing people. And even more recently, I just jumped on board to be campaign manager for Matt Evans, who's running for mayor of Phoenix. And the interesting part of that is, and that's where what I mean by just trying to do my part. I was sitting across from him for coffee to give him an endorsement. So for this election season, Mom Army, we're endorsing a bunch of candidates all over the country. Governor of Utah, Phil Lyman, we gave him our endorsement. U.S. Congress, you know, up in Sonoma County, Chris Colomb, our friend Denise Aguilar running for California State Assembly. We've been endorsing people at school board level. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're working a lot with politicians because it's important for us to be at the table so we can help change policy when it comes to protecting children. So that's our strategy. I just jumped on to be his campaign manager because I realized sitting across from him, he's this regular Joe. And I don't mean that as an insult or anything. He is a software engineer who was driving Uber, saw how bad his city was getting. He's born and raised here in Phoenix, you know, father of three. And he started getting frustrated with how dirty the city's gotten, the homeless problem, the crime, everything. And he started going to city council meetings, speaking up his mind, all of the things. And then he finds out back in May that Kate Gallego, the current Democrat mayor, who's ruined the city, she's a lockdown mayor, mask mandates, all the things, all sorts of no transparency, budget is all out of whack and everything. And he realized she was running unopposed. Nobody was running against her. And that is disheartening considering Arizona has a very strong political base that unfortunately, the Republican Party did not have a candidate ready to run four years later.
Yeah, that happens up here too as well.
So. Yeah,
but I,
LA you know, was like that, yep. You know,
yeah.
All the things.
One of the things you said a while back and then we'll let you tell us where people can find Mom Army and all that stuff is I think that you see a lot if people don't get involved on whatever level, like it could be doing podcasts, it could be being a school board member, it could be supporting and getting behind a candidate that you really do believe in. It doesn't necessarily have to be you, but I think it cuts through all the cynicism and resignation of, yes, we're in a spiritual war, but it's just too big and overwhelming for little old me. When you start to get in the fight in whatever way that you can, it activates something in you. You're now participating. Mm-hmm. You're participating in the war. You're participating in the narrative war. And we need numbers. We need brave people to do their part. And I see that up here with people that are just, you know, you see a retiree and they're dedicating their whole, you know, existence right now as an 80-year-old or 85-year-old to election integrity because they really want clean elections. So, I mean, that's the kind of grassroots micro involvement that will have you holding your head high when this thing unfolds because you did not sit on the sidelines. You got involved. But I just wanted to thank you so much, Zeke, for coming on Basecamp for Men, sharing your insight and your wisdom. So great to talk to you. I just love everything you're doing. I loved hearing the story about your father in Cambodia. Where can people find you? Where can people find Mom Army? How do they get involved? And anything else before we sign off?
Yeah, you can go to our website. We're in the middle of redesigning a website, but you can still go to our website to just check out, you know, very basic information on us. But it's mom-army.com. But we're mostly on Instagram. So if you're on Instagram or Facebook, we're on there. It's the.momarmy. And then we also have the.dadarmy. We have some incredible dads in our group that are doing very similar things to the moms in Mom Army. You know, I just want to share very quickly, we're in the middle of planning our what we're calling our nationwide candlelight vigil. We're bringing attention to the 325,000 missing migrant children who are most likely being trafficked. That's actually the official government number that they've admitted to. My guess is probably double or triple that number. We just want to bring attention to the missing and trafficked children all around us. And so we're doing a candlelight vigil in multiple cities across the country on October 23rd, where we actually haven't released the information online yet, but we're getting ready to. Right. And so those are different ways you can get involved. Sometimes, you know, being in community with other people who feel the same way you do, who deeply care about children, is important. Maybe that will ignite something. Maybe that will be that catalyst that and meeting people, you know, in person. There's something about physical and connection with people. And so, you know, be on the lookout for that. We'll be announcing that on our Instagram and on our website. But yeah, that's how you can find us. We're a very small group organization. We're very grassroots. We don't have any funding. We, you know, this is just pure heart and soul and volunteer, and we're spending our own money doing it. And we'll get some generous, you know, donors here and there. But that the fight is human capital. It really is about all of us getting, doing our part, whatever that looks like you said. It could be, it's whatever aligns with you, whatever gift that you can bring. You know, we have people who are filmmakers and graphic designers, and everybody pitches in their own special, unique way.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Seek. We'll be watching for the vigil and get people hooked into Mom Army and Dad Army. But thank you so much for taking time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it, too.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Truth is doing the work. We're simply here to resonate with it. And go get yourself a cool t-shirt from our sponsor, Stand Up Now Apparel. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Base Camp for Men.